Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. Sonny Shipp will be along in just a second. We're here to break down another position group, two position groups, actually, offensive line and briefly tight end for LSU ahead of spring practices beginning on Tuesday, the 16th of March. And we want to go through the tight end position quickly with you guys on this podcast, whereas we've been really breaking them down position by position on the pods. But there's really not much to talk about in terms of the tight end position. So we're going to lead off with the tight ends before heading off into the offensive line, which has plenty to talk about heading into spring ball. Sonny, thanks for joining the pod. The tight end position for me is one that you are obviously missing Eric Gilbert, who was one of the best freshman tight ends to come through college football in the last probably decade. His production, his athleticism, size, all those things. He's out the door in the transfer portal and back in the transfer portal after committing to Florida. But let's focus on the future. Cole Taylor really got the praise of DJ Mangus on the coach's caravan on Wednesday night, just really saying how he needs to fill out that 6'7" frame of his. But if you watched him at moments as he was coming on late in the season, Cole Taylor is really a, kind of a bright spot out of that 2020 class, where he came out of literally the middle of nowhere, Colorado, as the first, who's believed to be the first player LSU signed out of Colorado.
Yeah, and I mean, how could you not recognize Cole Taylor for his valuable contribution in that Florida game? You know, I mean, think about it. Where is LSU at right now if Cole Taylor's shoe is tied into a knot and Marco the Dummy Wilson? It was Marco Wilson, right?
Believe so, yes.
Yeah. Can't get it off of his foot to hurl it downfield, man. But in all seriousness, though, Eric Gilbert was the guy that everybody talked about for good reason. The highest ranked tight end in 24/7 sports history. And all of that, just so much talent. And Taylor kind of flew under the radar. And so, but when you go back and when you look at what Taylor accomplished in high school, I mean, he basically played the same position that Gilbert did, which was more of a wide receiver than a tight end. He's got that tall frame. He's starting to fill it out now a little bit. And I think he is going to be a big weapon. I think he's going to be a big weapon because Jake Peets is going to utilize the tight end. You don't have Gilbert, and you hate to look at Gilbert leaving LSU as sour grapes, but on one hand, you lose a guy with immense talent, but then on the other, you don't have a guy around the program and in the locker room that obviously has a lot on his plate and has a lot to figure out. You know, entering the transfer portal twice in about a 3-month time period after you commit to another school. I mean, that for me, that's a red flag. And, I'm not saying it's a red flag that the kid is a bad kid or anything like that, but it's a red flag when you look at it from a team and from a program perspective. And so I hope he goes somewhere, where he doesn't have to play LSU, doesn't torch them. Hope he goes somewhere and has a good career. But I think Tiger fans should just turn the page on Gilbert. I know that we have, and focus on what you have. And I think Cole Taylor is going to help people a lot with that.
Yeah, that shoe throw from Marco Wilson will go down in infamy for Florida fans, and certainly just become a part of the lore of that LSU-Florida rivalry and a part of the 2-0 finish down the stretch for LSU. And I'm with you. I think Cole Taylor, he was just asked to do non-tight end things for his school in high school, flew under the radar. But, man, that size and, the tight end position, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Foster Moreau. I mean, that size, he's even got a little bit more of it, I think, than Foster even has. but he just has that natural size that you like at the position. He can block. He's shown the ability to catch the ball and make plays in the passing game. I think he's going to be a nice piece. And look, the two signees, Jalen Sheed and Jack Besh, who could end up being a little bit of a tight end if they want to move him into kind of like a Evan Engram type of, you know, tight end position role. He can factor in. But other than that, it's a lot of walk-ons. And so I'm just interested to see who they rule out there at the tight end position outside of Cole Taylor in the spring game and who the new names are to really know who might become maybe the Josh Wilson the Josh Williams of that group. Had Marco Wilson, Josh Wilson, Williamson or Williams in my head there. But Josh Williams, the running back who came on for LSU late in the year, who's a walk-on. But I want to focus on the offensive line more than anything. And I think a lot of LSU fans will agree this position group really underachieved. And I think COVID really hurt them, obviously, not having a typical offseason. LSU lost a lot of the offensive linemen, almost all of them, at one point for about a 10-day stretch in fall camp. They really weren't able to do anything. And so they had to play themselves into shape. They underwhelmed in general early in the year, but they came on well enough for LSU to finish 2-0 down the stretch and for them to have some really nice offensive showings. LSU was one of the better passing offenses in the country last year, just overall. And you return all five starting offensive linemen and some guys who have played a lot, others that have started in spots as well. What's your outlook for this group, Sonny? And we saw what bringing back a whole group can do in 2019. And I think it's going to be tough for these guys to match that group, obviously, in terms of their play. But there's got to be some optimism around year two as this group starts together again.
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at it and you have to be excited that, you know, that you've got so many people back. And, you know, I'm a stats geek and everything. And you mentioned the 2019 offensive line, and I bet you would have never thought this, that, you know, LSU in 2019, the LSU offensive line wins the Joe Moore Award. Three guys go on, get drafted. You lose four starters. You know, everybody really hammered offensive line coach James Craig in 2020. But that 2019 unit gave up 2.33 sacks a game. And in 2020, they only gave up 2.5. Would you have ever thought that without just like looking at the stat sheet?
No, not at all. The way
not at all, huh?
No, the way they were under pressure at certain times. I mean, you just wouldn't have thought that for one second. No,
no, no. And so when you think about the job that Craig did of piecing things together, and you know, you are breaking in four new starters, but I think we all touched on this when we kind of did our little roundtable on the offensive line, looking ahead for the spring, is that you lost four starters, but you know that number is a little misleading because you got a guy like Darryl Rosenthal who started some key games for LSU in 2019. You had him at the left tackle spot. Austin Deculus was a three-year starter at right tackle. Liam Shanahan started 30 straight games at Harvard. Granted, it was not at center, but he slid into that center position. And then Ed Ingram started as a true freshman. He started, I want to say, 11 or 12 games as a true freshman. So you had some experience. You had some experience coming back and everything, but you didn't, for me, that position right there, that and the defensive line were the two areas that when you looked at LSU on the field or even just standing on the sidelines, the first thing that goes through your mind is not, man, those guys are big. It's like, man, those guys are seriously overweight. And I think winning the national championship, several of them probably got a little too complacent. And then when you tack on the COVID restrictions of not being able to hit the gym and not being able to work out, but more so of getting complacent, because every other school in the country had to deal with the COVID issues of not being able to get in the gym too. And we saw plenty of teams where their offensive line came out and were strengths. And so going into this spring right here, you really hope, and so far I've heard good things about the offensive line and really about the team in general of how serious they took the off-season conditioning program, you know, the fourth quarter program leading up to the spring. And I think you're going to see it. You know, I think you're going to see it. And if that's if what we've heard pans out, and if that continues throughout the summer, because the summer month is when these guys are going to really shed some pounds. That's when they'll have about a good solid 3.5 months of just, you know, grinding in that Louisiana heat and that Louisiana humidity. And that will definitely shrink some of those bellies.
Right. I think the as much of anything, it came down to conditioning and where the guys were at going into the 2020 season, which is why they just took a lot of time to get it together, quite frankly. But I think one thing for me that I look at when I look at this group, and from left to right, you got Dare Rosenthal, Ed Ingram, Liam Shanahan, Chason Hines, and Austin Deculus. I'm interested to see if there's anybody that can challenge some of those guys. Can Chason Hines be challenged? We saw Cam Wire take some snaps when I believe he was hurt towards the end of the season. He started a couple games, if I recall correctly. And then at left tackle, obviously Cam Wire also stepped in there. But you had guys like Marlon Martinez and Xavier Hill out of the 2020 class that actually played a good amount. And then you have the 2019 class of offensive linemen, Thomas Perry, Cardell Thomas, Anthony Bradford, Charles Turner, that are taking a little bit more time to develop, whether it be injuries or getting their weight together. Those are all question marks. And so there's some, I'm interested to see, and I don't think we see it during spring, but can we start to see the wheels start to turn for some of those 2019 and 2020 guys that kind of got a taste of playing time last year, or, you know, have really had strong off seasons and have turned the corner. I'm interested to see which positions are really up for grabs. I think when you look at Dare Rosenthal, he is your prototypical left tackle that you want. But we all know he's had the consistency issues of off the field stuff. He was not in shape to start the season by any means. He was probably actually one that it was most obvious that he wasn't in good enough shape, but he's still very talented. Cam Wire, kind of in that similar mold though, basketball player in high school, added the weight to get up to probably what he's at right now, which is about 285, 290 pounds, I would imagine, probably even north of that, you know, by the end of the summer. Those guys, can they push? Can they challenge? Can they continue to kind of come on and find roles on this offensive line? Because there is some young talent on campus that just hasn't turned the corner yet, but especially in that 2020 class, they've gotten a little bit of a taste of playing time and the potential to push some of these older guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And we've got to remember too, we've got Garrett Dellinger, top 100 offensive tackle, who enrolled early for the spring. And so having him in there too, I think is going to help push, push some of these guys who have been there for a little while. But, you know, for me, I guess when you start looking at from a competitive aspect, LSU's deepest area along the offensive line is the interior, particularly at the guard position, where you've got Ed Ingram, who is entrenched at one of those guard spots, whether he sticks to the left or the right side. And then you have Chason Hines, who, you know, when we talk about conditioning and having to play himself into shape, he's a guy that you circle right there. Then you have Marlon Martinez, like you mentioned. You have Xavier Hill. But then you got three other guys from that 2019 class, Cardell Thomas, Anthony Bradford, and Thomas Perry. You know, all of those guys were north of 335 last year. And, you know, for Bradford and even Cardell, that's kind of being generous. And so you've got a lot of bodies right there. You've got a lot of guys who had stellar high school careers, but have not been able to translate that into the instant impact type of player that some people bestowed on them coming out of high school. And so you've really got a lot of guys right there. You've got a lot of bodies. You know, with LSU so deep on the interior of the defensive line, you know, you wonder if Joseph Evans is one of those guys that you see cross-trained. Ed Orgeron last year even talked about a guy, he was a guy that could play both ways in a game for, you know, during the season. So, and you don't usually see, very rarely have you seen a guy play on the defensive line and then flip over and play on the offensive line, you know, in a game on the college level. So anxious to see what, you know, where he ends up playing at in the spring. But you've really got a, you know, you've got a lot of guys competing for competing at that spot right there. And you know, in a perfect world, all of those guys just come in the best shape that they've ever been in Baton Rouge. And you really get to see the, you know, you really start to see a push right there, because the spring and summer is when the, you know, the transfer portal really starts to kind of heat up, you know, entering the season. And I think that, you know, that when you hate to mention names, but when you look at positions to where you could possibly see some attrition because guys haven't made their move or they think the pasture's greener somewhere else, you start looking at areas where you do have a lot of depth. And I think on the offensive line, it would be that interior.
Yeah, you make a great point about the interior. I think that's your strength. The tackles, I would say most likely, you know, pretty thin. Can Xavier Hill, or will he stay there? Can Xavier Hill, you know, be a reliable backup like Cam Wire was last year? We'll see. He played some offensive tackle. Marlon Martinez has played all over from what we've heard. So this group, you know, the spring's a really good time to tinker around, but they do have five returning starters coming back, and that is a good thing for LSU to return that group, which came on late, to help LSU finish off the season strong. Spring football is just around the corner, guys. It begins on Tuesday, March 16th. We'll have your coverage as best we can. We don't know if we'll be allowed in just yet, but as media availabilities and tidbits and talks with sources heat up, be sure to subscribe to Go 24/7 for all the latest, whether it's interviews with players and coaches or behind the scenes tidbits about who's making a move in spring ball. We'll keep you guys all up to date, whether it's annual for 30% off or subscribe for just $1 for your first month. We encourage you guys to check those out. And also subscribe to the Go 24/7 podcast wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. We've previewed the entire offensive side of the ball. Now, on the next edition of the podcast, we're going to the defensive side of the ball. We'll do that to kick off the beginning of spring ball next week. So stay with us on the Go 24/7 podcast and have a great weekend, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.